I want to talk about something in this service that I really, actually, God just kind of placed it on my heart during the worship. Now, that always scares me to death when that happens. And because, you know, I'm kind of organized and prepared. And then God says, now I want you to go this direction. And it was as Matt was praying. And he started praying to God and telling about people who have come into this building today. Some of you who are going through incredible storms in your life. You're facing some things in life that are difficult to handle. I want to talk about storms today and how to handle them. In Matthew chapter 14, if you'll open your Bibles there, very, very familiar scripture is the story that we often refer to as the passage where Jesus walked on water. But I want you to notice what actually happens here. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, look at it. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." And then I want you to skip down, if you will, verse 23. It says, then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Out of a storm, testimony was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are all kinds of storms. Here in Georgia, especially in the spring, we have weather-related storms. Our son Adam, as I said, who was here this weekend, when he was about 4 or 5 years old, on a Sunday evening, I'll never forget, because it was one of those stormy springs, and it almost always seemed to happen on Sunday evening that the storms would come up. And my family had gone home ahead of me from church that night, and I was driving home, and I was looking in the rearview mirror, and I could see this dark cloud. I mean, it was incredibly dark, and I thought, man, this is going to be a huge storm if it comes through the Decatur area and hits here. So when I got home, my wife was in the kitchen, and she was making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and Adam was standing there, and she had about 4 sandwiches made. And I thought, man, that's a lot of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 1 4-year-old kid. I said, "What gives?" She says, "Well, Adam says this storm's going to come and hit here, and it's going to be all night, and he's going downstairs, and he doesn't want to be hungry. And so he's getting his sandwiches to go downstairs." So he gets his sandwiches, and he starts downstairs, and he stops at the top of the stairs. He said, "Dad, you need to come on, you and Mom." I said, "Adam, I'm going to watch television, and they'll flash it on the bottom of the screen if there's really a storm in this area that's that bad, and if so, I'll come down." You know, have you ever tried to explain anything to a 4-year-old? You can't, all right? And so I'm trying to explain that, and he said, "Oh, no, 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 you need to get downstairs now." I said, "No, no, 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 I'm going to stay up here." He said, "I'm telling you, you need to come downstairs." I said, "I'm telling you," and you know, we're in that back and forth stuff. And then, so he stops, and finally says, "Well, I'll tell you this, if that storm hits this house, and you don't come downstairs, I'm going to be the next pastor of Hebron Church. I just want you to know that." And I thought, okay. So he heads on downstairs, but then he comes back and he says, "And I have my first sermon. I've been thinking about it." I said, "And what is your first sermon?" He said, "The title is The Fool Who Stayed Upstairs." Well, a storm did strike. It struck him as I chased him down the stairs. Well, there are all kinds of storms. There are weather-related storms, but there's other storms. It may be a storm that you're going through in your marriage, or it may be a storm that you're going through with one of your children. Or it may be a physical problem in your life, or it may be in the economic times that we're living today, it may be a financial problem. What does the Scripture tell us about storms? Well, there's several things in this passage I think will help you today if you're going through a stormy time. And by the way, if you're not going through a stormy time, I heard a pastor say one time, you're either in a storm, coming out of one, or about to enter one. So it's at some point in your life, every person goes through stormy times. In Matthew 14, Christ gives us some help for storms. The first thing you see in this passage is this. Storms often strike suddenly. I mean, they often strike suddenly and we really don't have time to prepare for them. You see, the disciples were told by Jesus to get into the boat and to go across the Sea of Galilee. And as they were traveling across the Sea of Galilee, suddenly this storm hits them. And you've got to understand that these guys in this boat, at least four of them, were veteran fishermen. They'd been on the sea every day of their lives up until the time Jesus called them to ministry. And they'd been in storms before. So if they were fearful, it was a tremendous storm. So storms often strike us when we least expect them. It was just this spring. My mom and dad lived next door to me. I'm very fortunate. I grew up in a Christian home, as I shared with the college students this weekend. And my mom and dad, we've had a great relationship, and they now live next door to us. And my mom is a Southern lady. I mean, she's just that beautiful Southern lady, and she looks about 10 years younger than she is. And I mean, she can cook. I mean, Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, every year I wait for Thanksgiving dinner. Because, I mean, she cooks this incredible feast. I mean, there's like eight of us that eats this dinner, and she cooks for like 20. So I'm sitting in the living room with a drumstick watching football. It doesn't get any better than that. And that's my mom. But on April the 12th this year, while keeping our twin grandchildren, somehow she tripped and fell and received a brain injury. At that point, everything changed. Now, my dad has to give her constant care. They're at home. He said when all this happened, he said, "I'm telling you, I'm not leaving her side." You got to understand, my mom and dad have been married 61 years. But listen to this. They met when she was 5 and he was 7. I mean, they've been together that long. But everything's changed. The brain injury has caused personality changes, memory loss. She doesn't recognize us a lot of the times. And I often think that morning of April 12th, everything was wonderful. And by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, everything had changed. And you know, some of you have faced those kinds of storms. The phone call from the doctor's office. You go into work and you find that your job has been discontinued. The police officer that calls your house because your child has gotten into trouble. Storms often strike us when we least expect it. Let me tell you something else. They often follow great periods of celebration. I mean, look at the story. You've got to go back a little before the verses we read. But what had happened just before Jesus sent the disciples out onto the sea? They had just witnessed a great miracle. The feeding of the 5,000. Now, you know, I asked our congregation one Sunday, if you could be present at any miracle other than the resurrection, what would it be? I would love to be at the feeding of the 5,000. One thing, because I'm a Baptist and Baptists love to eat, all right? But also because of the incredible miracle. And that little boy, you know, I think of that boy. There's so many stories about him. He left home that morning, and his mom had fixed him a little lunch and sent some food with him. But by late evening, he had given that food to Jesus, and Jesus had multiplied it and fed a multitude. You know, that reminds me, as I look at him, that you never give anything to Jesus so that he doesn't give it back to you better than it was when you gave it to him. And so Jesus takes a few loaves of bread and a few fish, and he multiplies it, and he feeds the 5,000, and then they have baskets of food left over. And the disciples saw this. So it was a great time of celebration. But look at the passage we read. What does it say? Immediately on the heels of this miracle, Jesus made them get into the boat and go to the other side. Wow. Storm strikes suddenly. Storms often follow celebration. Crisis comes on the heels of celebration. Third thing you see in the story, and I want you to really hear this. Storms do not always mean you're out of the will of God. You know, there's a segment of Christianity today that's teaching, and if you turn on the television, you'll see it, that if you're right with God and you have enough faith, you'll always be wealthy and you'll always be healthy. There's only one problem with that. It's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. And when people go through storms in my church and they come to me and they ask about those storms, the first question that most of them ask is this: what have I done wrong? I must have done something wrong, or I wouldn't be dealing with this. Let me tell you, storms do not always mean you've done anything wrong. Why were the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee? Go back and look at the scripture. You'll see it in that 22nd verse. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples, or strongly urged them, to get in the boat and go to the other side. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It's a little poll that I often do with our church on biblical questions. How many of you believe Jesus knew the storm was coming before he sent the disciples out on the sea? Raise your hand. Okay, most of you. Jesus had total knowledge. Well, there's a bigger problem. Why did he do it? Why didn't he say, hey guys, we need to go to the other side of this sea and minister there, but there's a storm coming tonight, wait here and we'll go in the morning? Or why didn't he say to them, hey guys, get in the boat, head out, storm's coming, I'm going to walk out on the water, everything will be cool, I'm going to calm the sea, don't worry about it. Why didn't he do that? Well, Jesus is the master teacher. How many teachers do we have in the room? Raise your hands. Lots of educators here. My wife's an educator. My daughter's an educator. My son's going to be an educator. I'm surrounded by teachers. I didn't even like school, all right? In fact, I'll tell you, this is the honest truth, Pastor Tim. When I was in high school, I said there's two things I'll never do: preach or marry a teacher. Hello. My wife's an assistant principal of an elementary school. She knew when she was 9 years old she was going to marry a pastor. She didn't tell me that when we started dating. I promise you, she did not. If she told me that on the first date, there never would have been a second date. When I headed to college, I had not been called to preach. I went down to ABAC. I was going to work in law enforcement with the Department of Natural Resources. I was going to get paid to hunt, fish, and arrest my friends. Those were the three things I wanted to do. That's what I was going to do in life. But then I married a teacher. And my wife, as a teacher, before she became an administrator, she would teach a lesson, and on the heels of that lesson, she would give an exam to test the knowledge. That's what teachers do. Jesus is the master teacher. Jesus gave the test, then he taught the lesson. These guys were not out of his will. Listen to me. You may be going through a stormy time today that is not of your own making. It may be a storm that someone else has created in your life. Or it may be the economy in which you live. Or it may be the situation that we live in, a sin-cursed world. But you need to know, storms don't always mean you're out of the will of God. The next thing you see in this story is this. If you look at the story, storms bring fear. They bring great fear. You say, well, if I'm a follower of Christ, I ought not fear. I know the Bible says fear not, and there's over 300 fear nots in the scripture, and I believe that too. But I'm telling you, when you're going through a stormy time, it's human nature to be fearful. Do you agree? I mean, that's just human nature. When our daughter, I was in the fourth grade, she had a brain tumor. And when the doctor told us that our daughter had a brain tumor, I'm telling you, I was afraid. I was afraid. And I went through all kinds of emotions, and my wife did as well. We were fearful. We cried. We held on to each other. And fortunately, we have a church like you do that loved us and surrounded us in love. But I'm telling you, we were fearful. But I want to tell you this also. God understands our emotions, and God loves you right through the fearful times. You may be going through a fearful time right now. God can handle that. If you're afraid, tell him you're afraid. Oh no, I can never tell him I'm afraid. He already knows, okay? He can handle it. Our God's bigger than our fear. Our God's bigger than our storms. Our God is big enough to handle these things. Well, The biggest lesson in this story is this. Jesus will always come to you in your storm. He won't leave you alone. Look at the scripture. It says in the fourth watch of the night, by the way, the darkest part of the night, time just before dawn. The darkest part of the night, it says Jesus came to them walking on the water. He always comes to us in our storms. It may be through a verse that you read. It may be through a song. It may be through a friend. It may be through your church. Let me tell you, churches that reach people for Christ are churches that minister to people in the community who are going through stormy times. And they demonstrate the love of Christ. But He'll always come to you in your storm. I remember one way that He came to us in our storm when our daughter had the brain tumor. We came home from the hospital one night. And to this day, I don't know who did it. But someone had tacked scripture on our door. And it was just what we needed. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. I needed that. My wife needed that. We don't know to this day. But I know that God did it through somebody. God will always come to you in your storm. Maybe today is through this lesson. You may have come out of this community visiting Eagles Landing Church today, really not even knowing why. I tell you, the loving God of this universe has drawn you here because He wants you to know He cares about you and what you're going through. For Christ followers, the last lesson is this. Through our storms, we can be a testimony to the love of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you have to put on a fake smile, and if you're going through a stormy time and you've got to become a super spiritual person, it just means as you are authentic and real, you'll have an opportunity to bring glory to God. While our daughter was in the hospital, my wife would stay with her at night. I'm going to tell you, moms, you have an incredible strength that we dads know nothing about, all right? My wife would stay every night, all night, with our daughter. And one night, a nurse walked in. Her name is Lynn. We were at Eccleston Hospital in Atlanta. And they had done an incredible job ministering to our daughter. She went through 13 hours of surgery. They were able to remove the tumor. She just graduated from Georgia State University. She still got some storms in her life. She doesn't drive, but she has a degree in psychology. She psychoanalyzed everybody in our family. That's taken a while, especially me. She's an incredible young lady, but she still faces storms. But God never told us while she was in the hospital He was going to heal her. He just said, I'm going to take care of you. We didn't know what that meant. But one night, Lynn walked into the room where my wife was sitting with Dana. She tapped her on the shoulder and she looked at her and she said, I need to talk to you. She says, there's something different about you. She said, I've watched you walk down the hall of this hospital and put your arms around people you don't even know and cry with them because their child's sick, while you've got your own child over here who's sick. She said, I've watched you sit by her bedside in the middle of the night and sing to your daughter. She said, now I've seen your husband here. He's been here during the day, and you know, but I've never seen him sing to her. And she said, we want her to get well, okay? He doesn't need to sing to her. But I've watched you sing to her. I've watched you cry over her. I want to know what gives. And my wife looked at her and said, Lynn, sit down. Let me talk to you. She said, "We're very much afraid. We love our daughter. We'd change places with her if we could. But we know we have a God who loves us. And even though we don't understand this and we'll never understand it in this life, we have a God who loves us and is bigger than our storm. And He is the strength that's getting us through." She said, "I know your husband's a pastor." She said, "I would love to come to your church sometime." She said, "Well, Lynn, when we get out of the hospital, about 2 weeks later, we'll do our Christmas production in our church. And if Dana can, I'll bring her to church." She said, "If Dana comes to church, I'll come to church the same night to the Christmas production." Long story short, Lynn and Steve, her husband, both gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And it came out of a storm, a stormy time. But you know the incredible thing? It was just a few years ago, I looked up into our baptistry one Sunday morning, and there were their two daughters being baptized who had also trusted Christ through our children's ministry. And I thought it all started with a little fourth grade girl with a brain tumor. It started with a storm, but out of that storm, four people's lives were changed for all eternity. God never wastes a storm. Amen? I don't know what you're going through today. And I don't even know why I really felt led to preach this message. I just believe there's somebody or more than one somebody that needed it. But whatever your storm, they do take you by surprise. They come suddenly. Sometimes they follow great periods of celebration and happiness. They do cause all kinds of emotions, but Christ will come to you. If you're not a follower of Christ, He says to you, "Let me be your hope. Let me be your life." Because you see, the same Jesus who walked on water can change your heart and your life for eternity. You see, as He walked on the water, the storm was raging around Him. But everything that threatened to be over the heads of the disciples was under His feet. And today, if you'll give Him your life, He'll never abandon you. He'll never forsake you. If you're a Christ follower and you're going through a stormy time, just understand He loves you very much. And even though you may not understand the reasoning behind your storm, understand this. He'll walk with you, and He'll use your storm to bring glory to Him if you will allow it to. Let's pray together. I'm going to have a prayer with you, and then your pastor's going to come and lead you into a time of invitation. I believe today that God is moving in this worship center, and that there are men and women and boys and girls here today that God is drawing to Himself. And it may be through a storm. There's others here today who need a word of encouragement from your Father in heaven who loves you. Just allow God today, through His Son Jesus Christ, to minister to you as only He can. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning, asking You, Lord, to minister to all those precious people in this room who are going through storms. Lord, be their peace. Be their comforter. Be their companion. I pray in Christ's name.